Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And go to the Divi to our friends on 89.0 Free FM, coming out of the Tron, going throughout the Waikato. I hope you're having a lovely day, a beautiful autumn day out there this morning, folks. It's nice and chilly in the morning, and lovely days like this, and then nice cool evenings as well. So, yeah, beautiful time of the year, isn't it? And on the show today, we're going to go do some. Primary sector headlines, have a look at the weather, maybe some gardening to-dos, and then later on we'll get, I'll play you a couple of talks about the future of food, and had I been more organised, all the songs would have been out of the future of food as well, but not particularly organised today, folks, so we'll see how it rolls anyway, but for a start, while I try to get some headlines organised, here goes a song that's been going through my head a bit this week anyway. It's Up to Me by Bob Dylan, a bit of a rarity, if there's such a thing in the internet age. So I hope you enjoy it.
Everything went from bad to worse. Money never changed a thing. Death kept following, tracking us down. At least I heard your bluebird sing. Now somebody's got to show their hand. Time is an enemy. I know you're long gone. I guess it must be up to me. If I'd have thought about it, I never would have done it. I guess I would have let it slide. If I'd have paid attention to what others were thinking, the heart inside me would have died. But I was just too stubborn to ever be governed by enforced insanity. Someone had to reach for the rising star. I guess it was up to me. Now the Union Central is pulling out. The orchids are in bloom. I've only got me one good shirt left, and it smells of stale perfume. In 14 months, I've only smiled once, and I didn't do it consciously. Somebody's got to find your trail. I guess it's gonna be up to me. It was like a revelation when you betrayed me with your touch. I just about convinced myself nothing had changed that much. The all-rounder and the iron mask, he slipped me the master key. Somebody had to unlock your heart, he said it was up to me. Now I watched you slowly disappear down into the officers' club. I would have followed you in the door, but I didn't have a ticket stub. So I waited all night till the break of day, hoping one of us could get free. Oh, when the dawn came over the river bridge, I knew it was up to me. The only decent thing I did when I worked as a postal clerk was to haul your picture down off the wall near the cage where I used to work. Was I a fool or not to protect your real identity? You looked a little burned out, my friend. I thought it might be up to me. I met somebody face to face. I had to remove my hat. She's everything I need in love, but I can't be swayed by that. It frightens me, the awful truth of how sweet life can be. But she ain't gonna make a move. I guess it must be up to me. Now we heard the sermon on the mount, and I knew it was too complex. It didn't amount to anything more than what the broken glass reflects. When you bite off more than you can chew, you got to pay the penalty. Somebody's got to tell the tale. I guess it must be up to me. Dupree came in pimping tonight to the Thunderbird Cafe.
Crystal wanted to talk to him. I had to look the other way. Now I just can't rest without your love. I need your company. You ain't gonna cross the line. I guess it must be up to me. There's a note left in the bottle. You can give it to Estelle. She's the one you've been wondering about, but there's really nothing much to tell. We've both heard voices for a while, now the rest is a history. Somebody's got to cry some tears, I guess it must be up to me. So go on, boys, play your hands. Life is a pantomime. The ringleaders from the county seat say you don't have all that much time. And the girl with me behind the shades, she ain't my property. One of us has got to hit the road. I guess it must be up to me. If we never meet again, baby, remember me. How my lone guitar played sweet for you, that old-time melody. And the harmonica around my neck, I blew it for you free. No one else could play that tune, yeah, I knew it was up to me.
There we go. That was Up to Me by Bob Dylan there. Yeah, a bit of a rarity. And it's time for some Prime Music, the headlines now, ladies and gentlemen. And there are plans underway for more live cattle shipments to China before the ban takes effect. Yes, the ban is at the end of next month, which the government announced a couple of years ago in 2021, but granted a two-year transition period sector. So 6,000 cattle and 43 crew, including two New Zealanders, were on board the Gulf Livestock when it capsized in the East China Sea in 2020, which sort of started all of this few roar about live cattle exports to China. And the figures show that 134,590 live cattle were shipped to China last year, and they're all going over there to be used for breeding purposes. But yes, there are a couple of shipments planned before the end of next year. So, yes, it's an interesting one, that one. But you may remember a few weeks ago I read out a thing where they can still fly animals over to China, because I think it's a time thing, how long they take to get there. So they're going to fly a load of goats, if I remember correctly, over to China for breeding purposes. So there's that one. And what else we got here? The 2023 wine grape harvest is underway. Yes, indeed. And the first of Marlborough's Sauvignon Blanc is set to be picked this week. Last season, 532,000 tonnes of grapes from around 700 wineries were harvested in New Zealand, with the Sauvignon Blanc variety accounting for about 75% of total production. It's a lot, isn't it? And Wine Marlborough General Manager Marcus Pickens said volumes from the 2023 vintage should be on par with the long-term average. They haven't been... we're always at the slight mercy of rainfall coming in, so yeah, we're just hoping to avoid that, he says. So, in Central Otago, viticulturist James Dicey agreed that labour was in better supply this year, with numbers of backpackers and RSE, it's registered seasonal employees, workers, both starting to pick up. So, that's good to hear, because, yeah, not only in the primary industries, but all industries, including the cafes and things like that downtown and here and beautiful Whangaroa, all struggling with staff. So, yeah, hopefully as more people come in, yes, these at least that pressure will be eased at least. And the kiwifruit crop, which is New Zealand's biggest horticultural export, it could be down by 20% this season. Zespri's a $4 billion global exporting business, sent 177 million trays of New Zealand fruit offshore last season. But the two largest packhouse entities are predicting big drops in the volume of fruit they will handle this season. Seeker Chief Executive Michael Frank said a late spring frost toasted many orchards. Spring was wet, so bud break and pollination was poor, and now there's been flooding. Yes, yeah, they got quite flooded down around in the Bay of Plenty, Conaways or Portiki, where they grow a lot of kiwi fruit and other places like that. So, yes, and pretty much the rest of the headlines are all weather-related. Whanganui River in flood, flows onto farms after councils failed to heed the warnings, says one. Isolated Hawke's Bay farmer struggled to move stock before winter. Farmer saying the $26 million cyclone fund doesn't go far enough. Yeah, more stories about cut off Hawke's Bay farmers. And our hearts go out to all of you people down there who have lost your houses and your stock, and you know all your paddocks are a mess and everything like that. It's got to be heartbreaking for sure. And I'll finish on this one, I think. An immediate solution to solve the issue of destructive forestry waste, or SLASH, is available, and implementing it must be accelerated, says a forest research organisation. During Cyclone Hail and Cyclone Gabriel, massive volumes of forest debris end up blocking water channels, smashing into bridges and farm infrastructure, and flowing over farmland in Tairawhiti and Hawke's Bay. Chief Executive Julian Elder was making the comment in the wake of an announcement of the ministerial inquiry into the land use practices on highly erodible land. That the organisation will be working with government, industry and local communities to better understand and prepare for the risks that come along with managing forests and land use change in highly erodible land under a changing climate, Elder said. And his solution is an immediate solution, forestry slash, in the form of a portable container-sized mini factory to process forestry waste on site, turning it into new high-value products. He adds, to date, the technology which is available has not been seen as financially viable. But when you factor in downstream impacts, if you leave it slash behind the logs and large woody items, then it might change the economics of this, he said. So that's a bit of a good news story. And yeah, when you hear that sort of technology has already been floating around for a while and it hasn't been implemented, I guess you've got to ask yourself why, I suppose. But anyway, that'll do for the headlines there. And now I'm going to play this one here by Chuck Berry called Downbound Train. This one goes out to you, Leith. You requested this one. I hope you listen to the show. Hope you have a great day, Leithy. Here's Chuck Berry, Downbound Train.
A stranger lying on a barroom floor had drank so much he could drink no more. And so he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a downbound train. The engine with blood was sweaty and damp, and brilliantly lit with a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones, while the furnace rang with a thousand groans. The parlor was filled with lager beer. The devil himself was the engineer. The passengers were most a motley crew. Some were foreigners and others he knew. Rich men in broadcloth, beggars in rags, handsome young ladies in wicked old hags. Scorched their hands and face. Wider and wider the country grew. Faster and faster the engine flew. Louder and louder the thunder crashed. Brighter and brighter the lightning flashed. Hotter and hotter the air became, till their clothes were burned with each quivering flame. Then out of the distance there came a yell. Ha ha, said the devil, we're near and home. Oh, how the passengers shrieked with pain and begged old Satan to stop that train. The stranger awoke with an angry cried. His clothes wet with sweat and his hair standing high. He fell on his knees on the barroom floor and prayed a prayer like never before. And the prayers and vows were not in vain, for he never wrote that downbound train.
All right, there we are. That's Chuck Berry there with Downbound Train. And it's weather time now on the Over the Fence show, and a beautiful settled day out there today. There's hardly a breath of wind and not many too many clouds around the place. And, yeah, beautiful warm day after a nice cool morning. But and that's because there's a big high that's been out in the Tassie, is kind of centred over, I guess, Coromandel sort of area today. And but that's going to pass off, and there's a front coming in. Low and incoming front on Thursday, which is going to make the later part of Thursday and into Friday unsettled. The unsettled weather moving in brings the heaviest rain to the west coast of the South Island. So luckily, it appears the eastern North Island is not going to get too inundated with this next front coming in, which is good. We may get a bit up here in the Waikato, so I guess time will tell. And today, when you look outside the window, it's pretty much what you get. Mostly sunny with a touch of high cloud, maybe some morning cloud in the west that breaks away. And there was actually not a cloud in the sky, and I woke up in Onifiddle this morning. But there's a little bit of cloud around here now, I guess, and light winds tend onshore this afternoon. So that's kind of the weather. So yeah, there's a front coming in, but yeah, not too much to worry about really as far as like downpours and things like that go. And here in the Waikato, we're expecting a high of 23 degrees today. 24 tomorrow, then between like 22 and 23, right through to next Wednesday. And it's going to be cloudier tomorrow. Looking at rain Friday, maybe thunderstorms Saturday. Cloudy again Sunday, Monday, and then maybe showers Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And the nighttime temperatures are 9 degrees tonight, which is the coolest all week. And then, wow. 18 degrees on that rainy day on Friday, that's high. And 16 degrees tomorrow, so that's a big change tomorrow night. And then the rest of the week after that is between about 9 and 12 degrees at night. And the winds are nor-northwesterly today, nor-easterly tomorrow, northerly, westerly, southerly, then west-nor-westerly, then westerly Tuesday, then south-south-westerly. So, yeah, it's a very changeable winds all right, moving all around the place. And yes, there is going to be rain. They're predicting maybe even 177 mils on Friday, so that's quite a significant amount of rain around here. So, yeah, better watch out for that one coming up. The rest of it's going to be pretty small, only a few mils here and there. But, yes, Friday looks like it's going to be quite a substantial. Oh, hang on, not 177. Got that wrong, folks. It's 17 mils, not 177, so that's kind of lucky. So, yeah, but the rest of it's going to be like somewhere between 6 sort of 3 mils they're predicting. So, yes, that's kind of the weather for the next week or so. And what else have we got for you here today? Of course, the sunrise this morning at 7:19 in the morning and will set at 7:42 this evening. The length of visible light is 13 hours and 16 minutes. Actual day length is 12 hours and 23 minutes, and tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 27 seconds shorter than today. And the beautiful moon, I was watching it this morning as the sun came up. Yeah, it's a waning crescent. It's about sort of half a moon, 43% to be precise, illuminated. And it will set at 2:53 this afternoon. And, of course, there is the new moon coming up in a week or two, and then the next full moon's early next month. All right, so there's some weather for you. And now I'm going to play for you, if you're listening to the station earlier, you might have heard this from me an hour fiddling around it, but it's a sort of future of food song, which later on in the show we're going to look into, but this is the first one I'm going to take out for you. It's Future Legend and Diamond Dogs, the first two songs off Diamond Dogs album by David Bowie.
And in the death, as the last few corpses lay rotting in the slimy thoroughfare, The shutters lifted an inch in Temperance Building high on Poacher's Hill, and red mutant eyes gazed down on Hunger City. No more big wheels. Fleas the size of rats sucked on racks the size of cats, and 10,000 peopleoids split into small tribes. Cupboards in the highest of the sterile skyscrapers like packs of dogs assaulting the glass fronts of Lovney Avenue, ripping and re-wrapping mink and shiny silver frocks, now leghorns, family badge of sapphire and cracked emerald, everything now, the gear of the diamond dogs.
Thank you.
Jones and Dom Dogs there by David Bowie. And it's Gardening Time now here on the Over the Fence show. And Gardening by the Moon in this last quarter, which is kind of from today, really. It is time to harvest and store your summer crops like your pumpkins and your potatoes, such things like that. Hang on. Let me tend to this first, folks. There we go. That's better. And if you are... yeah, Gardening by the Moon, and things to plant in the Waikato this year. Well, these things are leaves from apricot, beetroot, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, calendula, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chrysanthemum, coriander, cyclamen, daffodil, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, feijoas, forget-me-nots, hyacinth, and patents, kale, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, onions, oranges, pansy, viola, parsley, poppy, radish, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onions, sweet pea, and tulip. There's a few other things you can plant this year. This month, I should say, in the garden. So, yes. And weeds, of course. A few weeds around at the moment. All right. So we'll come back to some public service announcements after this one here, if I can find the right one. It's a Gordon song called Future Shock. Get ready for this one, folks. We'll be right back. folks. There we are. That's a great New Zealand band, the Gordons, there with their song Future Shock. As public service announcements now, of course, later on today is going to be the Surfing Farmers, of course, which starts it down at the Naranui Beach. It goes from about 5, so you can tootle along there, and yeah, everything's supplied. So all you got to do is bring yourself. Basically, they've got wetsuits, surfboards, surf lessons, and then you can tootle up the surf club after that one if you want a sausage and a beer or whatever you're into. So that's happening. And also there was a seed saving day happening at Belinda's Place on Saturday the 8th of April between 2:30 and 5:30, and Monday the 10th of April between 2:30 and 5:30. And a lot of those seeds are going to be taken down to Hawke's Bay for the people down there, so they've got some seeds to grow. Start growing their veggies and things like that again. So, yeah, that's Saturday the 8th and Monday the 10th of April from 2:30 to 5:30, seed saving at Belinda's Place. You can go to Time Bank to register on that one. And I think there's also going to be something in the Chronicle about it next week. So something to keep in mind. And, yeah, as always, the Aroha stand, speaking of seeds, is sitting out in the entrance way to the Town Hall, put on by the fabulous people next door at the Whangarau Environment Centre. Oh, Jay's been sitting there at the moment, so you can just wander in there, grab your seeds, and tootle them off and start growing some veggies. It's going to be, speaking of the future of food, I think, yeah, people, more people growing seeds and veggies and things like that in the local area, the better, really, for food sovereignty and food security and all these kind of things. So, so that's that. And I'll tee up some short talks about the future of food coming up after this one. I'll play you probably two in a row. This one here is suggested by station manager Aaron Moore, called People by My Sex. Following that one up by Ween, playing their song Pork, Roll, Eggs and Cheese, which Paul from the fabulous Friday Freak Zone, who's actually in the studio right now, suggested I play. So we'll start with People by My Sex.
Yeah.
That is Ween with what's the name of that one again that I see? Bacon, egg, cheese, something like that. Pork roll, egg, and cheese. There we go. Thank you, Paul. Yep. I hope you enjoyed that. And now I'm going to play the first of maybe two or three little things we're going to do on the future of food now. And this one is called Just That, the future of food. Yes, food for thought, as they say. So here it goes.
We're going to see both subtle and radical changes in what we eat and how we grow it in the coming century, and increasingly in the coming decades, in fact. The big paradox of our food future is an increase in demand from more people on the planet and a decrease in supply from environmental pressures in particular. So the big challenge is, how are we going to build climate resilience and intelligence into food production? So the most delicious foods, the most nutritious foods, the foods we love, like chocolate and coffee and wine and peaches and apples and berries, the really high nutrient, high flavor foods are also the most vulnerable foods because they need very specific conditions to grow, and a lot of those foods need water. So, for example, avocados in Mexico, almonds in California, and all of the fresh fruits and vegetables grown in California are under pressure because they need very specific conditions and they need lots of water. So we're probably going to have a harder time producing those foods. Meat also is going to be much harder to produce, conventional meats, because 1,800 gallons of water go into the production of 1 pound of meat. Lots and lots of grains. About a third of all the grains produced in the world go into livestock production, meat production. So that will be much harder to produce sustainably in the next few decades. The foods that are easier to grow are the ones that we plant every season. So grains like corn and soy and wheat. It'll be easier to adapt those crops to more hotter and more volatile growing conditions. Now is a really interesting time in the meat industry because products like the Impossible Burger, Beyond Meat, these are plant-based protein products that taste a lot like conventional meats and that are getting adopted into mainstream restaurants and so on. Burger King and White Castle and Shake Shack and a lot of food chains are picking up these plant-based proteins. But they're really only, for the most part, being used for these burger-type meats. The real question is, how are we going to, on a large scale, move the meat industry beyond animals? I think in the future there still will always be some amount of meat produced from animals. Kraft meats and sustainably produced meats will have a future for sure. But there's also an area of development that's called lab meats or cultured meats. These are meats that are grown from cells that are taken from animals. Tiny little biopsies of cells are taken. The cells are given an environment in which they can grow in a laboratory, and they grow into recognizable meats. I, for example, tasted duck breast that had been grown in a laboratory in Silicon Valley, and it was a mixture of muscle cells and fat cells and connective tissue cells. All of that sounds really gross, but it was actually delicious and tasted just like duck meat. But what interested me is that conventional meat producers like Tyson and Cargill Meats and so on are actually investing in these companies, in part because they're so resource efficient, right? In order to grow an animal that we eat, we put, you know, so much water and feed into the process of growing that animal, and we really can only consume less than half of the body weight of the animal. So if you can grow the meat without the animal, you're saving a lot of resources and money and environmental pressure. There are also food safety benefits because you're not harvesting the meat in slaughterhouses. There's not bacteria mixing in with the meat in that sort of meat harvesting process. And it has, you know, a lot of advantages that I think will appeal to consumers. We just have to get beyond this sort of weird factor and this sort of gross out factor that you're growing meat in a laboratory. There's amazing applications of robotics and artificial intelligence in everything from large-scale agriculture and the application of chemicals and herbicides, fertilizers, and so forth. It's in increasingly aquaculture and fish farming. There are really interesting applications. It's in harvesting and automated harvesting, and it's even in vertical farming and these indoor farming applications. I'm also really interested in the way that we can teach plants to become more climate resilient using advanced breeding techniques, including, you know, GMOs, which is a controversial topic for many of us. CRISPR and other gene editing techniques are also coming online in a potentially very important way to help build climate resilience in crops. And the approach to sustainable meats is another really important area of innovation. So some of these things sound really scary and futuristic, but they may have nutritional advantages and even flavor advantages that go well beyond what we're doing today. The two areas that we need to think about as consumers in, you know, our daily habits are, you know, number one, meat. Meats are by far, especially beef and lamb, are by far the most environmentally intensive foods to produce. So cutting back on meat consumption or switching to alternative products certainly is one of the biggest sort of challenges for consumers today. The other big area of focus for me and my household is food waste. More than a third of all food produced globally is either rotting or being thrown away, you know, basically ends up as waste. And it's an amazing number because it's, you know, so energy intensive, environmentally intensive to grow this food. You know, it's essential too to think about the impacts of climate change increasingly on food supply and our decisions politically. Who we elect into office and how seriously they're taking the climate issue is going to be essential to food security in the future.
All right, folks, that was the future of food, and now I'm going to play a few Secret Chiefs 3, their song called Drive. This one goes out to you yet again, Leith. Check it out, folks. Folks, that was Secret Chiefs 3 there with their song called Drive. Thanks for that one, Leithy. Enjoyed that one. thanks for putting that one through. And now I've got time for another quick little video. This one is, you know, what's going to be on the menu of 2030, another future food thing. There's heaps of stuff in here, folks, so we'll have to come back to this one. So, but anyway, here's this one for now.
Future food, the menu of 2030. The world's population has been increasing faster than food production, even with modern agricultural technology. There will be 9 billion people to feed by 2050. Researchers have been looking at new food sources, tweaking existing ones, and even creating entirely new foods. We examine what could be on our dinner table 20 to 30 years from now. Critters. A 2013 UN Food and Agricultural Organization report reminds us that there are 1,900 edible insect species out there, that some 2 billion earthlings already regularly consume beetles, butterflies, moths, bees, and locusts. Insects are abundantly available and rich in low-fat protein, fiber, and minerals. Lab meat. Scientists came up with synthetic meat grown in the lab. As early as 2013, scientists have already cultured ground beef from cow stem cells. Although that lab patty cost $330,000 to make and tasted quite bland, experts predict it will only take a decade or two for an affordable product that looks, cooks, smells, and tastes like ground beef. Algae. While it is already used as a biofuel, algae is seen as a solution for the problem of food shortages, as it can feed humans and animals alike. Algae is the fastest growing plant on Earth and has long been cultivated in Asia. Food experts predict algae farming could become the world's biggest crop industry, as it can be grown in both the oceans and in fresh water. It is a good source of vitamins and minerals. Farmed fish. 3.5 billion humans today depend on the oceans for their primary food source. That figure will double in 20 years. Fortunately, humans are aware of this and have implemented sustainable commercial fishing practices and turned to cultivating fish. Aquaculture is going big, with 35 countries producing more farmed fish than fish caught in the wild. A milestone was reached in 2011, when for the first time, more fish were farmed than beef, a trend that has continued. GMO chow. Genetically modified food is nothing new. We first re-engineered the DNA of plants in the 80s to make them disease resistant. By the 90s, GM foods were commercially available. Several food items we consume, fruits, crops, livestock, even fish, have undergone some sort of genetic modification. These are generally safe and went through strict standards. 3D printed dishes. Straight from the printer and onto the plate, you will be able to fully customize food shapes, textures, tastes, and forms. You can order online your favorite chocolate bar or snack and 3D print it with a machine at home. The food you're craving will just be a print away.
Yes, all right, folks. Well, there we are. That's maybe a little taster of what's coming up on your menus. What, in less than 10 years, they think. So, yeah. But there's other ways, of course, that we can feed the people of the world. It's just a matter of getting it all together, really. But anyway, hope you enjoyed that. Yes, there's lots more to delve into in the future of food, but we will get there as time goes by. But that's it for today's show. Thanks for listening very much, folks. Appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I will be back probably next week. And have a lovely week out there, folks. Go keep there and look after yourselves and everybody else, and yeah, take care.